in this matter of literature, for example, they have practically all that we have, and unlimited leisure to read it in. Melville is very insistent upon, and rather envious of, that unlimited leisure. A picture of a mermaid swinging in a hammock of woven seaweed, with what bishops call a latter-day novel in one hand, and a 16-candle-power phosphorescent fish in the other, may jar upon one's preconceptions, but it is certainly far more in accordance with the picture of the abyss she printed on his mind. Everywhere change works her will on things. Everywhere, and even among the immortals, modernity spreads. Even on Olympus, I suppose, there is a progressive party, and a new Phaeton agitating to supersede the horses of his father by some solar motor of his own. I suggested as much to Melville, and he said, "Horrible, horrible," and stared hard at my study fire. Dear old Melville, she gave him no end of facts about deep-sea reading. Of course, they do not print books out there, for the printer's ink underwater would not so much run as fly. She made that very plain. But, in one way or another, nearly the whole of terrestrial literature, says Melville, has come to them. "We know," she said. "They form indeed a distinct reading public, and additions to their vast submerged library, that circulates forever with the tides, are now pretty systematically sought. The sources are various, and in some cases a little odd. Many books have been found in sunken ships." "Indeed," said Melville. "There is always a dropping and blowing overboard of novels and magazines from most passenger-carrying vessels. Sometimes, but these are not as a rule valuable additions, a deliberate shying overboard. But sometimes books of an exceptional sort are thrown over, when they are quite finished. Melville is a dainty, irritable reader, and no doubt he understood that. From the sea beaches of holiday resorts, moreover, the lighter sorts of literature are occasionally getting blown out to sea, and so soon as the booms of our great popular novelists are over, Melville assured me, the libraries find it convenient to cast such surplus copies of their current works as the hospitals and prisons cannot take below high water mark." "That's not generally known," said I. "They know it," said Melville. "In other ways the beaches yield. Young couples who begin to sit heapy," the sea lady told my cousin, "as often as not will leave excellent modern fiction behind them when at last they return to their proper place. There is a particularly fine collection of English work, it seems, in the deep..."